it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Caster, TJ Cleland joining us, PJ Glasser, our betting insider here on the program today. And PJ, I got to tell you, we're through week one of the NFL season. We're through a couple of weeks of the college football season. My bank account is not looking very good right now. I've not had a good start to the betting season. Hopefully week number two of the NFL will turn things around. I feel like you've probably done a little bit better than I have.
You know, week one, Tommy, NFL, week one, week two of college, they're tough because we don't know these teams yet. You know, we're all going off projection or maybe what we saw last year and things like that. So I think there's a lot of opportunity betting live in-game. You know, as a Ravens fan, I've seen them blow a lot of big leads. So I was betting Buffalo live in the Sunday night game, and it ended up working out for me. So, you know, obviously you want to pick winners from the start, and you want to pick these games on their initial lines. But early on in the season, too, there's a lot of value in betting these teams live, and you can get some really good numbers for teams to come back and cover spreads.
That's the good old emotional fade there, PJ. You bet against your team live, and you'll win either way.
Exactly. You guys know it. That's right. Yep. So that's what I was doing on Sunday. And, you know, it helps winning money, but it still hurts as a fan losing a game like that.
Yeah, that was I was thinking of you on Sunday night when Josh Allen and Buffalo comes all the way back and takes down the Ravens. Let's get into Thursday night football. First thing on the slate this weekend, we've got two 1-0 teams facing off, Commanders and Packers. I think the Packers flexed a little bit in week one, showing that they probably are a legitimate contender for a championship after taking down Detroit. The Commanders also go 1-0 to start their season. Right now, Green Bay, they're 3.5 home favorites in this game. Anything that stands out to you, what do you like in this game?
Yeah, I like the Packers, you guys. I like the Packers -3.5. I think they're going to roll tonight. Washington, the worst game that they played last season was probably when they had to go on the road in a Thursday night game and play Philadelphia. Jaden Daniels really struggled in that game. McLaurin didn't have a catch. Their defense couldn't really stop Saquon on the ground. And Green Bay, you know, I kind of want to bet them early on in the season when vibes are high right now. People are still feeling the effects of the Mike Parsons trade. And offensively, you know, I still think they have some things that they can improve on. But again, Washington doesn't have all that great of a defense. And we know Thursday night football, usually teams that are home have a big advantage. Matt LaFleur, his track record, normally very good on short weeks. So I still think that because Washington was so good against the spread last season and sports books and odds makers were so wrong on them, it's kind of like the effect of Indiana football from last year. Like, you were so wrong on them from a year ago, you want to overcorrect and maybe some lines aren't what they should be. I feel like this game should be closer to Packers -5, Packers minus, 5.5, somewhere in that range. So I do like Green Bay tonight, and I'm laying the 3.5 with the Packers.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. I'll ask you about this Commanders team. I'm not sure if you're a big fantasy sicko like we are as well, but Bill Kroski Merritt's been taking the world by storm for some reason. Who is going to be the integral part of this Commanders offense? You know, who do you look at to have some good props tonight?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Jaden Daniels' pass attempts is my favorite prop that I like from the Washington side, because I think what they're going to do to eliminate the Packers' pass rush is they will try and run it, but a lot of times what Kingsbury likes to do is go 4 or 5 wide receivers and just let Jaden play playmaker and just kind of get the ball out of his hands quick and have that extension of the run game. So I think looking at his pass attempts is probably my favorite bet that I would make for like a Washington player tonight. That's at 31.5. If you're just looking at a player, I don't really want to touch the Washington run game because it's still a work in progress. They got rid of Brian Robinson Jr. in the offseason. Eckler at this point in his career is not a three down guy, but he's still their number one. Bill, who you mentioned, TJ, that's probably, he's like the fantasy darling right now, the guy that everybody wants to see. But I think Eckler is going to be the guy who gets the majority of the run game, I would probably say at this point, or the snaps between the rushing and the receiving. I think Zach Ertz would probably be the guy that I would look at tonight, maybe like an anytime touchdown prop for Ertz. But Jaden Daniels' pass attempts, if I had to bet something prop for Washington, that's what I would look at.
We saw in the very first game that the Packers played that Micah Parsons was on a little bit of a pitch count, didn't play the whole game against Detroit, but made an impact when he was in the game. Assuming that he's able to do more in week number two as they kind of ease him in with that back injury and take it slowly with him, do you think from a Green Bay perspective defensively, that by itself will help hold down the Commanders' total point total?
Yeah, definitely will. I mean, look, when you have a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, who is a dual threat guy and is obviously a great athlete, having one of the best athletes on the other side in Micah Parsons is a big advantage. So I definitely think that does help. And again, as you know, Parsons plays more games and he practices more with Green Bay, he's going to get more comfortable in their defense. I would expect him to play a little bit more tonight. But yeah, I'm high on this Packers team and I'm high on this Packers defense. I looked at Green Bay's roster this offseason, you guys, and there was a lot of good with Green Bay, but there was nothing that was great, right? Like they had no superstars at any position. And now they have a superstar at one of the most important positions in the NFL. And Parsons, obviously one of the better pass rushers in the league. So I already thought their defense was pretty good. And now you add him and it should be the upside of being potentially really good. And they held down a really good Lions offense to 6 points. And I think on a short week, they can keep the Commanders offense to probably under 20, 17 points again tonight.
Yeah, PJ, I'll switch us over to Sunday afternoon. Obviously, that Chiefs-Eagles game, the Super Bowl rematch that everybody's going to be paying attention to. Patrick Mahomes as a home underdog, I think, is that the second time in his career is what my math is telling me. I'm not sure if you have that stat or not. It's weird to see the Chiefs as underdogs in Arrowhead Stadium.
It is, guys, and that's what makes this a tough handicap, you know, because I keep going back and forth. It's like, are we really going to do this where we fade Mahomes as a home dog? The Chiefs aren't usually dogs, as you were mentioning. On the flip side, though, I think the reason I'm leaning towards the Eagles in this game is the thinking of, oh, well, the Chiefs can't go 0-2, right? I mean, that can't happen. Like, I can't imagine the Chiefs going 0-2. So that thinking, that part of it, makes me want to go with the Eagles a little bit. And also just watching the Philly-Dallas game, you guys, if there's one way to attack this Eagles defense, it's the other corner. Whoever Quinyon Mitchell is guarding, you just go to the other guy. And obviously right now, one of the big issues that the Chiefs have is their wide receiver core is all banged up. Rice has the suspension. Worthy got hurt in the Chargers game. Hollywood had a nice game, but he also dropped some passes. Kelsey was really a non-factor outside of one catch. Juju Smith-Schuster is kind of like your possession receiver type guy. So I just look at the Chiefs receiving core right now, and it's like the way that you can attack this Eagles defense is the opposite corner of Mitchell. Jalen Carter obviously didn't play that game, which would help the Eagles defense as well. So I'm leaning towards Philly in this game. That's probably who my bet will be. It's not one of my favorite plays of the week, but I just think, you know, that part of it, and people thinking, well, the Chiefs can't go 0-2, right? I mean, they can't. They're not going to go 0-1 when it's like, well, yeah. I mean, they could. They're home dogs for a reason. So I think I like Philly in the game.
On the other side of the field with Jalen Hurts, you know, when you look at what Justin Herbert was able to do to the Chiefs in week number one, not only with his arm, but with his legs as well. Now the Chiefs are facing a guy that can do that better than Justin Hurts can in Jalen Hurts. Do you think that there's an opportunity there from a props perspective for Hurts to have a big day?
You know, guys, it's a great point, Tommy, and it's going to be interesting what the Eagles' game plan was. As I mentioned earlier in the segment, I'm a Ravens fan, so I've seen Greg Roman call plenty games. I thought he was fantastic on Friday night in Brazil, right? We all thought the Chargers were going to come out, establish Amarion Hampton, maybe use Najee Harris a little bit, run the football. And they just came out and they were throwing with Herbert, and the O-line held up really well, and Herbert was making great decisions. And now you kind of have a similar team, right? The Eagles, who are a run first team, but they have these weapons on the outside and a very good quarterback. And is Philly just going to say, we're just going to do what the Chargers do? They all think we're going to line up and run Barkley, but A.J. Brown only had one catch in the first game. Let's use him. Devontae Smith didn't really do much. So it'll be really interesting. Do the Eagles just stick to their bread and butter, or do they look at the tape from that Chargers game and use some of that? I kind of think they might use some of the Chargers tape, and they might lean on Jalen Hurts a little bit more. So people might be down on A.J. Brown. You could get a discounted price on him and Devontae Smith because of what their numbers were in that first game. But I don't know how you don't watch what the Chargers did on film and try to replicate that same game plan. So Hurts should be a factor. Maybe look at his pass completions a little bit. And then I would look at Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown. I do think Philly's going to throw the ball more than we think, just like the Chargers did.
PJ, you brought this up. The Chiefs wide receiver room basically has nobody in it except for Hollywood Brown at this point, between a Rashee Rice suspension and a Hollywood Xavier Worthy injury. That's been the question we've been talking about all week, is who's going to catch the passes for this team after Hollywood Brown? Is it, you know, Tyquan Thornton? Is it Juju Smith-Schuster? Mahomes, I'm looking at it, his passing line still at about 250. Like, do you think that the Chiefs are going to do that? Like, they think they handed the ball off 10 times last week. Are they going to do that again this week, or are they going to have to adjust?
Yeah, I mean, well, look, it's a great thing you got Andy Reid as your head coach, because if you need somebody to adjust on the fly and create a game plan, Big Red's the guy that I would want. So I think they figured it out. Guys, I love Tyquan Thornton, longest reception over 16 and a half yards, right? How many times did we see Mahomes bomb it to him down the field? They did miss some deep connections, but again, you watch that Philly-Dallas game. CeeDee Lamb makes a couple of those catches on those long passes, man, and they win that game. So there is opportunity to hit Philly down the field, and Thornton's their deep threat, especially now with kind of the state of their receiving room and how many guys that they have. So you are going to see a good mix of run and pass. I think they are going to try and control the game a little bit. Don't want to put too much on Mahomes' shoulders. But when they do throw it, if you're looking for a receiving prop, guys, I kind of like Tyquan Thornton, longest reception over.
There are some pretty great matchups in the NFL this weekend. Another one coming up, it's in the early window on Sunday. Another divisional matchup in back-to-back weeks, the Bears and the Lions. One of these two teams is going to go 0-2 in the NFC North. Right now, everything is favoring the Lions. They're 6.5-point favorites from what I can tell. I mean, clearly this looks to be kind of a bounce back spot for Detroit. However, Chicago put up a really great fight against the Vikings and very nearly won that game just the other night.
They did. Guys, great stat for you. Dan Campbell, 10-0 against the spread off of a straight up loss. So wow. If there was a coach that you wanted off of a loss, it is Dan Campbell. His teams normally bounce back in these kind of spots. I think the interesting handicap about this game is when you look at what the Lions and Bears did in week one, is it more of a takeaway of how they looked, or is it more of a takeaway of their opponent, right? So when you watch the Lions, was that game more about just how good the Packers are, or was it more about the Lions and all their issues that they thought we might have with both coordinators and Goff maybe not being as great? Look, Goff's great indoors. He's great at home. I just mentioned the stat about how good Campbell usually is off of a loss. And even though I think Ben Johnson did some good things and will help Caleb throughout the season, there's still a big learning curve there. And Caleb's just not quite where the Bears need him to be at the start of the season going into year two. So divisional game. The Bears played Detroit really tough in Detroit last year on Thanksgiving, but I like the Lions on Sunday. I'd probably lay the 6 with them.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game there. Another one that I had talked to Tommy about before we came on the air here in this block, the Seahawks-Steelers game. Everybody talked about that Steelers one after they won this past week of Aaron Rodgers getting the first win as a Steeler. They're home favorites in this one. Do you think that was, like you just talked about, is that the Steelers being good last week, or is it the Jets being...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bad last week.
I think it's more of the Jets, guys. Seattle's one of my favorite bets this week, especially at +3. I think they win that game outright. Seattle under Mike McDonald last year won 7 games on the road. They only won 3 at home. We think of Seattle as this team with this unbelievable home field advantage, and normally they are, but they've actually been better on the road the last couple years and certainly were last season as well. Keep in mind, Mike McDonald was the defensive coordinator for the Ravens before taking the head coaching job in Seattle. So very familiar with Mike Tomlin, the Steelers, how his defense is going to want to attack his offense. He's going to know ways to attack that Steeler offense as well. So I just like Seattle in these spots. And I think there's kind of this stigma that like when these West Coast teams go on the road and they have to travel across country because they play, you know, 10 a.m. local kicks, they have a big disadvantage. Guys, it's actually been the opposite recent years. Like you want to bet these West Coast teams that have to play these East Coast games. They're normally the teams covering the spread and winning the games outright. So I think it's a nice bounce back spot for Seattle. Lose a tough divisional game at home. Jets are feeling good after that big win. You saw how much it meant to Rodgers to beat the Jets organization. I like Seattle in that spot. I'd take them +3 and I'd take some money line too.
Real quick, with the couple minutes we have left, let's cram in college football really quickly here, PJ. So the game that we're following closely here locally, Kansas State going out west to take on Arizona. It's been pretty much a disaster so far this season for the Wildcats. That's the big game we're following. But there are some major top 25 matchups as well. Texas A&M, Notre Dame, that's on the slate this weekend. Georgia, Tennessee in the SEC. So the game that we're following locally and also some of the bigger games, what are your favorite bets?
So Kansas State, I like them this week, you guys, against Arizona. A lot of the professional bettors are definitely on K-State this week. Arizona opened up, I believe, like a -2, -2.5 point favorite, and we've seen nothing but Kansas State money come in early in the week. And for a line to move 2.5, 3 points, like that is professional money coming in on K-State. It obviously hasn't looked pretty to start the season. They very easily could be 0-3 right now. But to be favored in a game against Arizona, short week, I think K-State's the right side. So I do like them in the game at -115. As for some of the marquee matchups that we have, guys, I think some of these lines are getting out of control. Like the fact that Clemson is only -3 at Georgia Tech and Georgia's only -3.5 at Tennessee, I think are two major overcorrections. Clemson was down 16-0 against Troy last week in the first half. I just think that was all about the major letdown after the LSU game. And Georgia Tech, I think, is a terrible matchup for – I think Clemson is a terrible matchup for Georgia Tech because the way that Georgia Tech's offense wants to move the ball is they want to run, and they want to run with their quarterback who's hurt and might not even play in this game. I just think they're going to have a tough time moving the ball against that Clemson defensive line. So I like Clemson -3. And then I also like Georgia. You guys, that look-ahead line was Georgia -7. It's all the way down to -3.5. Think about this. Kirby Smart is 0-10 against the spread against FCS schools, and he's now 1-14 against the spread when he plays FBS teams as a favorite of 38 points or more. All Georgia did the first 2 weeks is what they always do under Kirby Smart. They never cover the spreads in those games. They never look impressive. They save everything for SEC play. And they've beaten Tennessee straight 8 straight times. They've covered 6 straight games against the Vols. I just think you're getting a discounted price because Tennessee's looked good against some bad teams and Georgia hasn't. But it's like, okay, fine. What did they do in these games? And Kirby has dominated Josh Heupel in Tennessee. So I think you're getting some nice discounted prices on Clemson and Georgia. I'd buy the dip and lay it with both of those teams.
Well, it's going to be an exciting weekend, both in the college world and in the NFL. It starts tonight with Thursday Night Football. PJ, we're up against it. We appreciate your time today.
Yep. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
All right. There goes PJ Glasser, our betting insider. And some good stuff there, some good stats as far as what to bet this weekend. We talked a little bit about K-State in that segment. We'll get more into the Wildcats. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, joins us next. Don't go away. It's Sports Daily coming right back.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.